JC2S, Part 1. Number 1B.
So let's take a look at how Mrs. Eddy gives what she calls, and as we know when we've gone through this Genesis chapter 15 in the textbook, how she shows then that what she is giving now is a spiritual interpretation of this biblical account according to the teachings of Christian Science, not according to her teachings. So now, when faced with this sense of the second record of creation, the belief that something else is going on besides Genesis 1:1, the deep things of God, how does she handle the belief that something else is going on besides God? How does she handle the belief of a material birth? How does she handle the belief, therefore, of that second record of creation, as posed right here in Genesis 1:2, of which then the first record of creation handles? When faced with this claim of spiritual, of material birth, or the material record of creation, or the belief that principle God can be turned into its opposite, she gives us a marginal heading called spiritual harmony. And she says, and I'll read what she says in its entirety, the divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. In the universe of truth, matter is unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Divine science, the word of God, saith to darkness upon the face of air, God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. Therefore, when faced by the claim that something else is going on besides God, which we know now is then the claim or belief of the second record of creation, how does Mrs. Eddy handle it here? She handles it from the standpoint of divine science. First, giving us that standpoint of divine science, showing that the divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. She says, in the universe of truth, matter is unknown. See, from that standpoint of divine science, material birth is unknown. The material birth of the individual, the material birth of the collective, and the material birth of the universe is unknown. She says, no supposition of error enters there. No belief. It's a belief. No supposition. It's not true. It's not a reality. This matter belief. It's a belief. It's a supposition. She says, no supposition of error enters there. She says, and I'll show you how it works, how divine science isn't just something airy-fairy, but it has behind itself the Word, the Christ in Christianity. She says, and she shows us, she says, divine science, the Word of God saith to darkness upon the face of air. God is all in all. Here we have divine science as the Word. That divine science has a Word. Divine science declares itself to the universe, including man. And that declaration is always going on, saying God is all in all. And that statement has a Christ, saying to the, taking the Word of God, the statement that God is all in all, and as the Christ, as the light of ever-present love, it illumines the universe. that statement in divine science, that God is all in all, it has a Christ. And that statement has a Christ in its coming to the universe, illuminating the universe. And the outcome of that Christ is the eternal wonder that the infinite space, the infinite universe, is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting Him in countless spiritual form. So we can see that to that claim that something else is going on besides God, to that claim that we have any other origin than divine science, to that claim, Mrs. Eddy just flatly shows that nothing is going on, that is just a claim, it's a supposititious belief, it goes on in the realm of belief. Therefore, hence her textbook showing that these things go on different states of stages of consciousness. But to one state of consciousness, it looks real. But as we know in science and evolve out, we begin to see then that to other states and stages of consciousness, those beliefs are unknown. So what we can see then, that this chapter is... What we can see then is that this chapter of Science, Theology, and Medicine is just saying that if we let this science that governs changes, which is really that law of the Christ in its multidimensional laws, that law on divine science, that law of the Holy Ghost, that eternal development of life, truth, and love, where the Christ appears on the absolute Christian science as the law of specification, and on Christian science as that law of translation and reformation. If we let this law happen in our consciousness, if we let this rebirth, so to speak, go on in our consciousness, we will see that law of the Christ and his translation and retranslation will bring to us the understanding that the real spiritual man was never born into matter. He didn't grow old in matter, and he doesn't die out of matter. That the real spiritual man in the real spiritual universe really always is in and of God, in and of the all in all. You see, it is revolutionary. Men and women of the 19th century said, are we ready to voice this higher order of science? You see, these teachings are the teachings then of Jesus, aren't they? Mrs. Eddy shows that Jesus was at work in divine science. He actually, we know that his virgin birth, his pure birth, born of a virgin consciousness, born of a married consciousness, born of that woman consciousness, born of the acceptance of divine science, that principle love which is our origin, those laws of the one life, the one Father, the law of the one truth, the one Son, the law of the one Mother, love, law of the divine principle love, that's really the origin of our consciousness. Those laws operating out of themselves, through themselves, as themselves, and for themselves, ushered us into being, ushered Jesus into being. It shows then here, we know then that Jesus then, because he was born of this virgin consciousness, of this pure consciousness, of this Mary consciousness, which we would say is of this woman consciousness, accepting those laws as our divine origin, divine science as that origin from which we come forth, made him a natural, Mrs. Eddy said, and divine scientist. He needed no discovery of the standpoint of divine science. He was at work in divine science. Therefore, we can see how it was natural for him to handle that belief of material birth, life in matter, growing old in matter, dying out of matter, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. It's no miracle. To one born of divine science, these are not miracles. These are the natural laws of God operating within consciousness. They really shouldn't be miracles to us either, after we've gone through this chapter. Because we see then that is something natural to be at work in divine science. Mrs. Eddy over and over again will say, Christian science is natural. Everything else is unnatural. The physical belief is unnatural. The mental belief is unnatural. Christian science is natural. Divine science is natural. It should be natural. But as Mrs. Eddy showed us, for her life and for us, she says, in retrospection and introspection as we know, to one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. And you see, that's what this chapter is about. Her discovery of divine science. When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science. See, she discovered divine science. She discovered those laws of life, truth, and love on divine science. What did they do for her? They were the science that governs changes. That was an awareness of the science of rebirth. You know, she was born again. She said, up to all this time, matter was just shutting out the true sense of spirit for me. She says, under the marginal heading of New Lines of Thought, my discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produced all the organisms and actions of the mortal body. What did it do? It set my thoughts to work in new channels. You know, new channels are new channels. They're not old channels, are they? They're new channels. It's new. And led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind, capitalized God, is capital all. That mind is all. And that matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. It is revolutionary. So what we will be doing this week together is really cultivating through this chapter, with Mrs. Eddy's help, our woman consciousness, that consciousness which will accept the new birth, the rebirth, to be born again from the standpoint of divine science. And really then what we see is that when we are born again from divine science, that we have a new name. And that new name is Emmanuel, God with us. Or we could say mind with us, spirit with us, soul with us, principle with us, life with us, truth with us, love with us. So through this Emmanuel consciousness, through this God with us consciousness, therefore we will take on that divine nature where we really are no longer aware of ourselves as mortals, but really are aware of ourselves as the operation of God's natures, God's nature and operation. And therefore, we will see, too, that we are no longer aware of the universe, a big point in this chapter, not only ourselves, but she shows that we will no longer be aware that the universe is mortal, or of a material origin or birth, as is being brought out in all these articles. If they're just talking about another material birth of matter and energy. But, she says, we'll no longer be talking about the universe being born through friction, through duality, through matter, or man born through friction, duality, or matter. But the universe, including man, being born of divine science. so that we see, as I said, that we are God's nature in operation, and that the universe also, right now, is God's nature in operation. Now, to show this, she builds on the synonymous terms. As we know, her chapter is built up on the seven synonymous terms, as most chapters are in the textbook, that they're built up, then building the subject from premise to conclusion on mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth. There's no love. There's a reason for it. You know, it's interesting also, as we know, that 100 years ago, in that 1888 class, we know that it's recorded that she said, upon the truths of these terms for God rests the basis of the science. In fact, they are the science. So this chapter is another chapter. She builds her subject on the science of God, on the synonymous terms, on mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We know then, going right back to class one, that then these terms appear to us on page 165, 465 in the textbook, in answer to the question then, what is God? We know then that upon these terms for God, that God, she shows us then, is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, Louisa, also what we want to see that is interesting, amazing what happened a century ago. In 1880, the natural scientist and philosopher Dubois Reymond published a book in German called Die Sieben Welträtsel, meaning the seven riddles or seven enigma of the world, a book that was brought to our attention in the early 70s by a co-worker in Germany. Now, Dubois Reymond said that there are seven enigmas in the world that still need to be answered. And he posed these enigmas in 1880. He said, these enigmas that cannot be answered are, one, what is the origin of movement? What is the nature of matter and energy? How do the sensations or the perceptive faculties arise? What is the background of free will? Five, how does life originate? Six, what is conscious thinking in language? Seven, what is the purpose of nature? Now, what we will see then is that in 1891, practically at the same time, we could say through divine parallel computing, which is really simultaneous non-linear problem solving, as we know, in her chapter Science, Theology, and Medicine, which was the last chapter to be written, especially in the main tone of principle, Mrs. Eddy gives the answers to these questions. And we see then that, especially under the tone of bringing mind all the way up, Louisa, to one, bring mine so it corresponds with one. Doesn't my, it's a little hard to do. Don't be concerned. Just, it's fine. Just leave it. It's all right. So we'll get the point. So we can see then that in this chapter, under principle, under the tone of principle as mind, principle as spirit, principle as soul, principle as principle, principle as life, principle as truth, principle as love. To borrow from a recently titled book entitled Seven Ideas That Shook the Universe, in this chapter she gives us seven synonymous terms for God that shook the universe and answered these enigmas, these so-called riddles of science. And by answering these questions, revolutionizes science today, translating science out of its material basis, out of its material origin, out of a belief of material birth, back into its original spiritual basis or origin, to the standpoint of the true spiritual birth of the universe. Therefore, it's translating science out of its material basis back into its original spiritual basis. And by doing that, we'll translate theology, medicine, man and the universe out of its physical basis back into its original spiritual basis. So the answers to these questions we will see tomorrow in the morning, on how Mrs. Eddy then answered these questions. And we will see in more detail the answer to these questions when we go over the tone of principle as mind, principle as spirit, principle as soul, principle as life, truth, and love in the chapter. So just have a few moments now before we leave. I just want to say that this week is a big week for us. Together we have quite a spiritual adventure. It's a big subject, it's a big chapter. We know that Mrs. Eddy wanted to put it first in the textbook. And I feel that in order for this that the birth of this chapter is natural and safe within our consciousness, within the consciousness of the collective, and within really the consciousness of the universe, I would like for us tonight to be a real Mary, to really take that Mary consciousness, that woman consciousness, and take this evening then that whole question on scientific obstetrics, the scientific method on how to attend the birth of the new child, where we see that the new child is divine science, the pith of Mrs. Eddy's revelation and discovery in this chapter, and therefore really the pith of our standpoint for this week. To see then this standpoint of divine science, this standpoint of our divine origin, of ourself, of the universe, including man, that standpoint really from divine science, which comes, that science which governs changes, that science which governs the new birth or rebirth within us. Within us, within the universe, within science, theology, and medicine. Now, Max Kapler and John Dorley, Mrs. Eddy, going the other way around probably, from the prophets to Jesus, to Mrs. Eddy, to John Dorley, to Max Kapler, all of them have stressed the importance of scientific obstetrics. Some of us is taking it seriously, some of us have just ignored it. I felt that it was important, I took it seriously, and early on, right away, coming into science, and especially when Max came to the United States on a regular basis in 1967, presenting to us their scientific obstetrics and the method of giving birth within consciousness to the level of divine science, the level of our divine origin through obstetrics. I took it seriously, and I would say every day for 10 years before I studied, took this subject of obstetrics before I would study. And if I had 4 hours to study, perhaps three were devoted to this attitude of scientific obstetrics. We know that this subject is found on page 463 in the textbook. And we know that we have as a guide giving us the scientific method on how to study and ponder this subject in booklet number 1, Scientific Obstetrics by Max Kapler, and as distributed, we know, as free literature by the Kapler Institute. If we would tonight, maybe a repetition for many of us, we may do it every night. Maybe we've done it before, maybe we haven't done it recently, maybe some of us have never done it. I would like all of us to take this little booklet, go through and study and ponder its message. We, I'm sure, have plenty of them here in the bookshop. And take this attitude, take this message as the attitude for this week. It is from this scientific method that Mrs. Eddy presents this chapter. And it's only from this method can we handle the subject, because we know that the only teacher there is and the only student there is the divine mind, that we cannot approach this subject with the human mind. That may sound a bit airy-fairy to some. It is very real and tangible to the spiritual standpoint, as we know, that Mrs. Eddy will show in this chapter that her method was to go out from the divine mind and let that mind which is God speak to the mind which is God within her. As David said, to let the Lord speak to the Lord within us. That principled standpoint, that's Christian science. To go out from perfection and never leave the standpoint of perfection. Therefore, it is with this mind of Christ, it's that mind that wrote the text, is the mind that is reading the text.